Welcome to the Podcast Profits Unleashed podcast on Mintwave Radio and all podcast platforms. If you're a coach, consultant, therapist, or healer with an online program and would like to find out how to grow your business whilst having fun podcasting, go to podcastprofitsunleashed.com/free. Let's dive into today's episode.
So, welcome to the show. And today we have the lovely Gabrielle Pimstone. We're going to be talking about energy, I suppose, in general. She is a healer. First of all, Gabrielle, would you like to share with the listeners a little about what inspired you to help people who are feeling stuck and how you can help them get a complete transformation when they uncover their blocks?
Awesome. Hi, and thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here, and it's great to speak to somebody from the UK. Most of the hosts are from North America. For me, what inspired me, there were so many things, but from a young age, Karen, I have been on a quest for understanding the big life questions. My father passed away when I was 9 years old, and it got me questioning the meaning of life, why bad things happen to good people, what happens after we pass away. After he passed away, I asked my mom if I could go to a medium, and she said no. And I was always questioning that. And I started getting really into analyzing my dreams. At age eight, I was writing down my dreams. I've always had a propensity to this whole idea of personal mastery, spiritual mastery, and I went into a career in psychology as a result. But what really got me into it was me being absolutely stuck. I always say being stuck was my catalyst. And I was stuck in a career that I had loved for two decades. It had propped me up for two decades. It was my identity for two decades. And in 2020, around that time, things started changing. And I was trying to work out what's going on. How come I had gone from a real love affair with my career to it took me so much to even get onto a Zoom call and have a meeting with people. And what happened was a podcast was the final straw in this whole story, which is why I love podcasting. It was August 2020, the 9th of August, and I was in a job, senior leadership role in a bank. It was dry. It was all about regulation. And I wasn't sleeping. I woke up sick to my stomach. I had that kind of feeling of rising trepidation. And I went for a walk. And I put on my AirPods and I listened to a podcast. And this woman was talking about living her life in the grip of anxiety. And always, even when things were going well, which they were at the time that she was being interviewed, always waiting for the other shoe to fall. And I thought, this is my story and I've got to do something about it. And I've been in the field of psychology, which I love, by the way, for nearly three decades. But I was still stuck in the same patterns. And what actually happened was quite amusing, because sometimes when you start thinking, I need a different approach, how do I change? What do I need? The algorithm, the cookies on Instagram hear you. And this advert came up. And the advert was for a three-day workshop on how to master your energy. And I thought, that sounds interesting. And I attended. And of course, that was the turning point. And I spent the next 18 months accrediting as an energy master. Yeah, so a variety of things, an innate propensity, a crisis in my life, and then this fortuitous offer to come to a weekend workshop.
Wow. And yeah, I love, I'm all about, is all, that's all we are. It's all about energy and frequency. Yeah. So for the listeners, could you explain a little bit more about energy healing and what it does and how it can transform your life?
Yeah, sure. I do energy healing, but I also do energy coaching. And the two are different, because people either come to me in one of two ways. They want me to just fix their problem, or they want to learn how to do it themselves. And fixing the problem is when the client literally lies back and I do the healing or healings for them. I'll talk you through what that entails. And then energy coaching is teaching them the five components of mastering their energy. So they're actually different processes. And I'd say probably it's about half, maybe, but you know, most people want to just be done with an issue. They'll come, they'll get some healings, and then they'll get curious about the topic. So energy is everything. You're absolutely right. It's like the life force. And it drives our conscious and our unconscious functioning at a physiological level, like our heart beats without us knowing it, we breathe without us knowing it, but also at an invisible, kind of intangible level, it drives our thoughts, our beliefs, the stories we tell ourselves, our emotions, our identity. All of that is just energy. What else is it? And that's what energy is. And the purpose of, and let me go back a second. So we're made up of energy. Things happen to us in our lives. If you want me to go really woo-woo, it can happen in the womb, it can happen in the past life, it can be passed down intergenerationally, but stuff happens, trauma happens in life. You can't get away with that. And when those events happen, we develop energetic blocks because the energy is dense. It hasn't been resolved or released. And so it has to go somewhere. It just sits in our, starts at our aura and then moves the deeper and deeper it gets. It then gets lodged in our chakra system. And these become like invisible handbrakes. We start to develop ways of being in the world, patterns of being in the world that are totally unconscious, but that are, have an energetic base to them. And so the why I love energy mastery or energy healing so much is when you're working at an energetic level, I can read energy. I go in, I find the root, the inception point of that block, I release and remove it, and it's gone. It's really gone. That's how what energy is, what energy blocks are. How energy healing, if you come for, usually it's, I've got packages up to 3 sessions. You typically don't need more than 3 sessions. Sometimes one does. I have had somebody who I had to work really intensely with. And it depends on how long the block's been there, how deep it is, how pervasive it is, whether whether it has tentacles in various aspects of your life, all of that stuff. But what happens is the client will come to me. And when I say come to me, it doesn't have to be physical. It can be virtual. In fact, most of my healings are done virtually. And the session starts with really just getting clear on the issue that they want to work on. All right, so let's get clear on the intention. For example, I want to work on my blocks to financial abundance. For example, that's just an example of what. Or I've got terrible insomnia. I've never slept through the night. Help me with that. There's so many things that could come up. Then what we get clear. I get the person into state. We set the intention. And I go and I do the healing. I'm working on their energetic body and I'm working across their timeline so I can go all the way back. And then after the session is, and then I find that root, that inception point. Sometimes I don't find it in the first session, maybe take another 1 or 2 sessions, but eventually I'll find it, I'll release it, and then the relief is palpable. And then after I've done what I'm doing, we then have a thorough debrief because I'm wired as a coach. I was in that for many years. So we then talk about what came up for me, what came up for them. And usually that is an extraordinary part of the conversation because I'll say, I worked on your throat chakra, for example. And they'll say, that's really strange because I actually had the urge to cough or things like that. And then what I end off with are some very pragmatic tools and tips. And if they're going to come and see me again, we'll check in on how they progressed around the techniques that I gave them. So that's the energy healing part. The energy mastery part is when I teach in the coaching process, I teach people 5 things. How do you understand your energy? So tune in, sense, know where your energy is at in the moment at any given point in time. How do you protect your energy? Because we are bombarded with toxic stuff from the outside. How do you clear your energy? So how do you find the root and release it? How do you maintain a high energetic vibration? Because we've got a function in the world. Without being inauthentic, but how do you navigate those dips, and how do you optimize your energy? How do you expand and optimize your energy so that you're coming, when you're trying to change your life, you're doing so from a non-resistant state? So those are the five steps.
Awesome. And how would somebody feel once they've what is the change in them from before when they've come to you and then once they leave? Do they notice things straight away, or is it take a while for things to change? Well, what are some of the stories maybe that you've had with clients?
I'm very happy to share stories. Just to answer the question, is it immediate or is there a lag time? It's both. It depends. And for some people, I'll share some stories, it's instantaneous. They might have a period of a couple of days where they release, and then it's instantaneous. For others, if it's deeply embedded, I've worked with someone over a four-month period who had a variety of anxiety disorders and was living in a cocktail of mental health issues and struggles. And so that took a lot longer. So it does depend. For example, I worked with somebody who at age 60 realized that they had suffered sexual trauma at age 8. And they found this out and they came to speak to me, and within one session that had turned around. And so what actually happened was, we did the healing. This person had lived with it for 52 years and unconsciously. And then after that, there was a four-day period where they felt depressed. They purged, because you often do purge. You purge physically as the energy releases, but you also purge emotionally. So if they were feeling really low, really flat, I can't remember their physiological symptoms, but they might have had headaches, that kind of stuff. And then, but they popped out of it. And they said that the relief was, it was like this feeling of a weight, living without this invisible weight, and relating to people so differently, people at work, people at home, family, friends. Everything felt lighter, everything felt more authentic. So that was a really immediate thing. And I personally was really surprised, because it had been a serious block that had been with this person for 52 years, but their receptivity was there. And that's also a really big thing. They wanted so much to release this. But there was another person who came to me who was struggling to relate in all her relationships. She felt like she was emotionally closed off with her husband, not her child, but with her husband, with friends. But the family dynamic was heavy. It was disconnected. And this person came to me, and within two sessions, she said she doesn't know how it happened, but the communication started flowing. The connection to in the family unit was just easy. She felt like she wanted to reach out to old friends who she'd shut out of her life. So that's the kind of thing that can happen really quickly. On the other side, there are some people who take a long time. As I said, this person dealing with multiple points of anxiety, working with them probably on average once a week, once every 2 weeks for 4 months. And they still live with anxiety, but their medication is significantly less. That's a big deal. And then, of course, there are cases where it's very difficult for people to change because the readiness isn't there. And when I pick that up, I'll say to people, you know what, I couldn't read your energy. And what that typically means is you're so defended that I couldn't actually go there. Let's check in a few months, and then they might come back. If they typically, there's a catalyst that brings them back, something's got really bad, and then they'll be ready. So they're different scenarios, Karen.
And I think more and more people are coming to the realization that energy healing is on the rise, right? People are having a little bit more of an understanding. At the end of the day, the only way we're having this conversation is through frequency, right? You're in Australia. I'm in the UK. We've come to totally understand the fact that you watch a television, you're on the internet. Yeah. So distance makes no difference. So going back to, you can do this online, right? It doesn't even, because our old conditioning of what we need to do to heal ourselves is so different to what is now being shared about you can shift, you can have so many shifts energetically, which will have a knock-on effect to your physical, because it's all connected, folks.
It's all connected.
But they can understand it on one level. But when it comes to this can actually heal, what do you think holds people back from taking that leap of faith to go to somebody like yourself with a problem to have this completely released once and for all?
I think there's healthy skepticism that is around. There's also art and art skepticism, which is fine. But people, if you can't see something, it's difficult to believe that it exists. But you're right. All you need to do is tune into a radio station, watch the tide ebb and flow, because that's all moon energy, right? But it's difficult. I think the other thing is the stigma, which is really, it's not as bad as what it used to be. It's becoming more, and one of my missions is to normalize the stuff. The stigma is there, and there's a shame associated for some people with saying, I'm going to see an energy healer. People go, whoa, are you crazy? I can honestly, if I own myself, like I was ashamed. I sat with shame about saying I'm an energy healer. I could say I'm an energy coach, but to say I'm an energy healer felt, and there's no disrespect here, but people, this is the image, people sitting with a crystal ball, that's not, and I wanted to resist that with every fiber of my being. So I think there's societal stigmas. I think it's just you don't know. And I just think there's also fear. And if I can, because my whole methodology is based on my own experience. When I started awakening, it was scary. You skip, you're afraid that you're going to see the darkness. You're going to see, it doesn't work that way. The higher your frequency goes, you don't, that stuff doesn't even come to you. So I think there's also a fear associated with, no, you can't go there. It's the occult. Like, as I said, when I was 10, I said to Mum, I want to go and speak to a medium. I didn't even know what a medium really was. And she said, no. I was actually telling her, I don't know what I'm saying here, but because there's fear. So there's a bunch of things. And then also, I think at a deeply unconscious level, if you tell somebody that you can really release their biggest barrier for good, there's fear in that. Because who are you without your identity? Who are you without your, the story that has held you back for so long? We live, there's that Rumi quote. It says something along the lines of, why do we stay in that invisible prison when the doors are wide open? So at some level, we choose to remain in the struggle. And the idea of freedom actually is quite scary for many people.
Because it's the unknown, isn't it? And depending on where you are in the world, because like you say, some people lose their identity. I find it fascinating that not everybody, but so many people, it's like when they have an ailment, it's almost like they take ownership of it. And it's almost a one-upmanship. If somebody says they've not been well, they've been ill, somebody's, oh, yeah, I was dying.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, my goodness, you're talking about it. You're getting emotionally involved in the whole thing about it. And you're actually trying to outdo each other. And you're right. And I think almost the way it's almost, I wouldn't say rewarded, but in a sort of way, it is, because there might be insurance payouts or they might get extra help from the government. And then friends and family might be looking after them. So there is a payout, isn't there? So they
there really
can then
is.
Think, and I'm not saying this is conscious, because nobody does this deliberately, but on an unconscious level, like you say, who will they be without this ailment? Like, what would happen if they were completely healed from whatever it is? And that is such a shame, isn't it? But
it's,
I suppose, the more you're aware of it, got to be careful about how you talk about yourself. I'm never ill, man. I am never ill.
I'm never ill and I'm never going to be ill. Karen, you're so right. Actually, when you use the word power, but I wrote the words, I always take notes, is payoff. That's the terminology we use in psychology. So there's a psychological payoff for remaining stuck. Now, I can talk for myself. So my biggest block was deep anxiety. It was just waiting for that other shoe to fall kind of scenario. And you would think to yourself, like, surely that's easy to shed. Like, you don't want to live with anxiety and dread and terror and fear. It was such a struggle. I sat and for 21 days, I devoted once and then again to focusing on eliminating, just releasing this thing that I didn't want but wanted so badly. Eventually, I wrote a love letter to my anxiety and I broke up with it.
Love that.
It is so peculiar. It's such a weird and it's such a puzzle. We all feel it, like we're trapped in something or other, and we want so badly to move on, but it is so difficult. Now, for me, it was because the payoff of anxiety for me was feeling safe. Okay, so in my story, it was all about waiting for the other shoe to drop because my dad took 5 years, was sick for 5 years, then he passed away. And so I got this notion that if I stop worrying, I become complacent. And if I become complacent, the rug's going to be taken out from underneath me. Now, that is such a primal childlike storyline, but that's what kept me stuck. That was the payoff. The payoff was safety. Which is, as I'm talking about it now, I'm thinking it's just so convoluted, isn't it? There are so many versions of people have spoken about that, of experience working with other people. So when try and change from a mindset perspective, working in therapy, which I love, but getting to understand ourselves, working with how we shift behaviors, that's all great. It's going to take a long time. What you want is you need something that's going to help you find the root of that. And it's like pulling it out and releasing it. And that's energy that you're pulling out and you're releasing. And when you do that, it's immense relief. It's just, it's all of the charge related with those limiting beliefs and those thought patterns literally evaporate. They go away.
And I suppose the beauty is with work, when you're working with energy, like you say, going to the root cause, because some people, if it is something that happened to them as a child, consciously, they might not be able to remember it. So this is all unconscious. So it makes sense that actually, if you're going to the actual energetic level of it and release it, then it's gone. And so it's, what I'm hearing from you is that it's not something that once you've released it, you've got to go back and release it. If you have fully released it, that's it. Is that done?
Yes, typically it is done. In my case, I had to go back twice. I thought I'd released it. And that was after 21 days. I had to go back and I had to do it again. But the next time I did it, it was easier. It all depends. It depends on the depth and the breadth of the issue that has gripped you. But I will say that the second time I went back to release it, it was quicker, it was smoother. And I'd lived anxiety-free for about a year in between, which is incredible. Right. So it is, but I feel like it's got, maybe there will be a time where it comes back. Now, what I'm not talking about, in my case, never feeling anxious again. What I'm talking about is the shift is that you can feel anxiety without being the anxiety. You can feel whatever your struggle is without it being you. That's working at an identity level. And so that's the shift. It doesn't mean that just because I've worked on you, you'll never feel anxious or sad or whatever it is again. But it won't be all of who you are anymore. That I can absolutely guarantee you goes 100%.
Yeah, so it's not debilitating.
It's not debilitating.
Yeah, well, we're all going to have, we wouldn't be human if we didn't have all these emotions. Yes. But the problem is when we feel we are stuck in a negative emotion. So yeah, love it. Still, and again, I would, from my point of view, so being here in the UK, the issue that I see with people maybe not reaching out to someone like yourself is because we have the NHS over here, right? So people in them, the stories they tell themselves in their mind is, if I'm ill, I go to somebody in a white coat and it's free, even though it's not, because you've been paying for it since you were 16. But in their heads, it's free. It's not. And so that's what I'm going to do. So that sort of, that seems to be, rather than, even if it's not working for them, how, I don't understand how we've even got to this level where we think that taking some kind of chemical is going to be a cure for all. It just doesn't make sense to me at all. In emergencies, great. Emergency, fantastic. But to release a problem, how did we actually get there? And what it's like over there and maybe in the States, what else do you think stops people from looking at an alternative that doesn't mean they're going to be putting any poisons in, they're not taking any chemicals, and they're actually releasing it on an energetic level. So that's it, they're solved. Yes. What else do you think stops people?
I think time is another valuable resource and that people really value. It's important to us. And when you think about working at things at an energy level, it could feel like a slog. It could feel like, oh gosh, this is going to, I've got to be an energy master. I've got to learn how to do this and it's going to take me 18 months. No, you don't have to be an energy master to master your energy. And one of the things that I teach people are tools and techniques that make it accessible. You're busy. If you really don't have the time or the inclination, you can make massive changes in a split second, actually. One of the things that's accessible to all of us that takes next to no time is sleep, is dreaming. We all go to sleep every night and we all dream. And that is a powerful pathway to your unconscious and it's a powerful pathway to healing. So there are very simple things that people can do to use their sleep more intentionally so that they can heal and release at an energetic level while their barriers are down. And that to me is a no-brainer because we sleep anyway. It's not going to take away any of our time. And then there are other things that are accessible to all of us that have a very powerful, although short-term, but very powerful effect is nature. I happen to live in Sydney. The sun shines a lot and I love sun energy. Transforms me. If I'm in back-to-back meetings or podcasts or sessions, I often just step into my garden. 2 minutes is all it takes just to really absorb the rays of the sun. If you live in the UK, maybe that's not a possibility as much. That was a little bit of a dig from down under. You can go for a walk in a wood or in a beautiful, nature is available to all of us. You can take a hot bath and put Epsom salts in it. It's incredibly recharging. So there are little things that we can do to boost our energy by using nature as well. And then there's deep healing that can happen overnight while we sleep.
There you go. So there's always something you can do. So what should the listeners do next if they wanted to just take that next step and have a little bit more of a deep dive into how this could transform their lives?
If they wanted to do it with me, they could very easily set up an obligation-free chat. And the worst that can happen is we spend 30 minutes together. In that conversation, we get clear on where you are, where you want to be, and what's holding you back. And then you can walk away. That's an immediate first step if you wanted to work. And otherwise, you can actually find a teacher who resonates and throw your lean in. Like for me, the journeys really started in earnest when I started listening to podcasts, when I started reading, when I started doing challenges, all those things. And there are lots of teachers, lots of people who can teach you how to do the stuff or shift your energy in a really accessible way. And so find the person that resonates with you and just start exploring. Yeah, that would be my recommendation.
And where can the listeners find you then if they wanted to find a little bit more about what you have to offer?
I think the thing that I'm most passionate about is immersion. As you've really heard me speaking about sitting in the fire with my anxiety for 3 weeks. And I've done that with grief and loss. I've done that over and over again. And I've put that into a methodology. It's an immersive 28-day process. And I think what might be useful for your listeners is if they, I think in your show notes, you might have a link to that. Go and have a look at what that looks like. Just list up, there's a video of me talking, there's information, there's actually no button for them to actually pay for anything yet. It's really not about that. It's about if you're interested, come and have a chat with me. Just, I think that's something that I wanted to put out there to people because it's a bite-sized transformation and I cannot explain to you what happens. Who you are at the beginning of the 4 weeks is different from who you are at the end at an identity level. And so I would recommend people go and have a look at that link. The other thing is to reach out to me on social media, on Instagram, gabrielle.pimstone. I'm very responsive with direct messages. So DM me, follow me, and I'd love to hear from you.
And to the listeners, if they can't see the show notes, if they're driving in their car or they're at the gym on the treadmill, how do they get hold of this 28-day immersion challenge?
So it's www.generativegrowth.com.au, and then you will see there is the there's a 28 days to healing. Click on that, you'll see it there.
Fantastic.
28 days to healing.
Awesome. So thank you so much for your time today. I know it's completely opposite sides of the planet. So thank you for giving up your time. And yeah, to the listeners, I will be back next week. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to today's episode on the Podcast Profits Unleashed podcast. If you're a coach, consultant, therapist, or healer who would like to drive sales whilst having fun podcasting, head over to podcastprofitsunleashed.com/free and find out how you can turn your podcast into a sales machine. We'll see you on the next episode.